Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. On the show, you've learned about branding, marketing, social media, and how to differentiate yourself. Well, now it's time to learn how you can stand out as a sales professional and to land those big deals. My guest today is Melinda Chen, who is a native of Taiwan. Melinda started her sales career selling language courses for Berlitz. During her 15-year career, she's made more than 5,000 cold sales and has been responsible for more than 10 million in sales. Melinda launched her company, Women Making Big Sales, to help female small business owners and leaders really learn how to sell big ticket items to big clients. Melinda is here to share her journey and tips for succeeding in an increasingly competitive sales environment. Melinda, it's such a pleasure to have you on my show. Welcome.
Hi, Deirdre. I'm really excited to be on this show.
Well, I'm super impressed with the 5,000 cold sales because we all know how hard it is to make a cold call. It is really interesting. And even let's just focus right now on how you kind of moved from the education market and sales to launching your own company, Women Making Big Sales.
Well, yes. I actually started at Berlitz about 15 years ago, and that was just simply one of the industries I've worked at throughout my entire sales career. So I started as international sales agent there, and I was basically selling to travel agents around the world, from Brazil to Korea and Mexico. So it was pretty interesting first sales job, and I was quite excited about it. And I really learned a lot about sales starting from then. And then I started using my sales techniques. I started moving to different industries, to investment, and then afterward to consumer goods and sporting goods. And toward the later part of my career, I'd say about 5 years ago, I started also consulting for entrepreneurs. I show them the sales process and what I learned throughout my entire sales career. And I also, at around that time, I also got pregnant, and then I was excited to be a mom. And at the same time, I got involved in various female entrepreneur associations. So I started speaking with a lot of female entrepreneurs, and I was impressed, inspired by a lot of women getting out of their corporate jobs or getting out of what they were doing before and decided to venture into their own businesses. And they're all capable, smart, intelligent. But what I noticed was that while they were spending a lot of time perfecting their marketing strategy or their product or, you know, the website, not a lot of people were focusing their efforts on sales. And shortly afterwards, they started complaining about lack of sales and not being able to reach that dream they were envisioning when they started the company. And they were complaining about the fact that they always had to chase after small clients, and the business income became very unstable. And at the back of my mind, I was wondering whether they wouldn't just go ahead and start selling instead of always get back to, oh, let me think about my marketing plan, let me think about the packaging of my products and things like that.
Right.
And that's when I started to launch Women Making Big Sales and really focusing on helping female entrepreneurs sell to the clients.
Well, that's fantastic. Sales should never be an afterthought. It's always the number one priority if you're in business. Why do you think people struggle so much when it comes to making sales or selling? Why is that?
Yeah, I think especially today's world, there's so many noises out there telling entrepreneurs what to do and telling entrepreneurs that that's the most effective way to launch or to promote their businesses. And there are too many people making a lot of quick win claims about, oh, if you do this, if you do this, and then you're going to reach your six-figure income. And it becomes a very noisy world out there. And for entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs who just got into this entrepreneurship and they're trying to do the research of how to really better manage their business, they often forget about the fundamentals of business. And, you know, selling to clients, it's not, even though some, a lot of things have evolved and there's social media and things like that, but the basic process, it has always been very much the same. But because of the fact that, you know, there's so much information, women, female entrepreneurs, we don't have the, first of all, the direction of how things should be done. How do you properly manage your business? So lack of direction is a very big thing, and lack of knowledge. Because even though we all know how important sales is, but we never learned the technique, sales technique, when we were in university. Our parents never sat down and they said, well, listen, let's talk about the art of selling when you move on to, when you're getting to the big society and, you know, you need to know how to sell. But no, so a lot of us, a lot of entrepreneurs, when they become entrepreneurs, they never have that real knowledge and the direction.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of noise in the how to, or, you know, those quick wins, like you said. What is your specific, and maybe this is a long answer, I don't know, or maybe it's short, but do you have some kind of process that you use yourself or that you've used over the years that when, you know, you work with these female entrepreneurs, you kind of clue them into, okay, there's six things that you do. And if you stick to this and really work at it, it's going to pan out into the big sales. So what is the specific process to close the deal?
Yeah, well, there is all for me. Having a very clear process is extremely important. Because when we talked about struggling with sales and not having the directions, having that clear process is like having a map and telling you that, okay, here's where you are in terms of your sales relationship, and this is where you are, you're trying to achieve, and this here is how you get to your end goal, which is closing the sales. So my program, I have a program called Heart of Sales Program, and it is all about the clarity and a clear sales process to help female entrepreneurs closing the deal. And having that process at the same time, it also helps women overcome the fear of selling, because you know where you are at this, you know, during a sales relationship. You're not trying to close a sale. Maybe at this point, you're simply trying to establish a certain kind of trust. So the process itself is it's relatively straightforward. The first thing is we always try to determine the client's pain before even meeting the client. And the pain is not just a superficial pain. We're very much focusing on everything we could find about the client, from where they went to school, their companies, the industries, the trends, the competitors. And how do they impact your target client? And how do your services help the clients who are targeting? And so that's what really the first process is, to really get down to know your client and know everything about your client.
And that should be easy, right? Shouldn't that be easy with the internet and Google and all the ways that we can kind of pull intelligence about prospects?
I think it should. It's very doable. It's very easy. But at the same time, a lot of people say, you know, I could Google it. I think the first thing is that Google provides, we also need to know the limitations of Google. Google provides a lot of information. So in order for Google to be able to extract all different kinds of information from certain websites, they, you know, there's SEOs and then the meta descriptions, and that's how Google extracts information. But when we're trying to find certain very specific information, for example, if you're really trying to get down to knowing certain industry trends, which is very useful information when you're talking to big clients, if you're able to dig deep and know and find some industry trend, it would be a great conversation starter. But if you simply Google it without very special technique, sometimes you won't be able to get the most relevant report or trend report. So, I mean, in my program, we talk a lot about using certain hacks to find that specific information we're looking for, because when you're trying to be very targeted and you just Google it, a lot of times you get to a lot of commercial information, a lot of people who are, you know, the businesses usually Google rank. When Google are ranking, the right. businesses usually rank the first, but when you're trying to get like industry reports, associations, the boring stuff, a lot of mm-hmm. stuff that's probably that are buried in the library, those are the gold. And those are the things that we want to bring up, because people, when they're trying to target big clients, unless you're really targeting somebody who's extremely public, meaning that you're targeting Marie Forleo. She's got all her information on there. Everything is very out. She talks about her business and everything is very out and open. That's probably easier. But a lot of people, they want to target, like, let's say, manufacturing sector. They think that are more traditional, or even behind-the-scenes fashion companies. Even though they have certain social media information, but a lot of information, they're very hidden. And those are the invisible information. And there are certain techniques to really uncover those things and to be able to tell clients that, okay, not only I know what most people know, I also know things that most people don't.
And oh, that's good
really
to know.
How you start to stand out. Yeah.
Very good to know.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, I mean, you know, be very specific with Google's search engine. And I always tell people, it's the better information input you put in, the better information you're going to get from it. So making sure the way you input your Google search is as relevant as specific as possible.
And then as far as the process, once you have this, you know, the really good information, the pain points that maybe another sales rep might not have, what do you do? How would you approach that prospect? What else is a part of the process?
Yes. Yeah, and the second step is that value proposition. And what we want to focus, the whole point of my program is we always go beyond what other people talk about. The basic structure is about the same, but there's always something. If you want to compete in today's world, you have to do more than that. So the value proposition, I mean, it is by all means very, very extremely important. But what I want to focus on and, you know, share with the audience is making sure that when you're creating a value proposition to big clients, try to quantify your value proposition, making sure that you can use numbers to really showcase your benefits. And sometimes it's not the easiest way. I've seen my clients, they sometimes struggle with it. But it could be such a powerful statement. And another thing that, you know, I would encourage people to think about is that urgent value proposition, the urgency, the timeliness when you're trying to propose this. Why now? Again, back to the fact that, you know, it's a very noisy world out there. And if you can really propose something that's extremely specific, simple, and urgent, then you're gold. That also shows the client that, hey, you know why, you're basically simplifying their lives by telling them this is why you need to do it now. And this is how you do it very simply.
So these clearly, basically what you're pulling out in your process, the ability to identify these unique pain points and then having this value proposition that is quantified. So those two things alone really, it sounds like, makes one sales executive stand out from another. So would you say that's a way to differentiate yourself? And is there anything else a professional can do to differentiate?
Yes. Yeah, of course. I mean, that's another thing. These are just some of the strategies we use. But what we're trying to do is we want to shorten your sales cycle. Because a lot of people say, well, let's do social selling. You know, let's interact with our clients on the LinkedIn, on Facebook, on Twitter, whatever it is. We say a couple of likes. We say, bravo, great article, and blah, blah, blah. But there are so many people doing similar things. And what we're trying to do is we want to be the leader of them all. We want to say that, hey, you know, we're getting straight to the point. We're very, very specific in terms of the value we'll provide. We're not just a social media manager, PR manager. You know, we're telling you exactly how this is done and why now. Why you got to do it now. So that's how we differentiate ourselves. And another really, really cool strategy I use is 2-5 formula. It's a formula, it's a contact formula that we use every time we try to formulate a strategy when approaching a client. But I'm going to emphasize on the number two, is that when we're trying to get our foot in the door, we always want to get not just one introduction, because a lot of people say, oh, maybe I'll do social interaction. But our focus is always getting introduction into referrals to our target clients. Because that's a very, very powerful statement. But not only we want to do one, we want to do two. So the power of this is that you think about your target client. So maybe you're a content manager and you would like to work with this, you know, marketing department of this big company, and you're approaching, you know, your target client is the VP of marketing. And imagine the VP of marketing, he's sitting there working his way, got tons of people, you know, trying to tell them to do this, going to meetings, going to taking phone calls, and the family, kids are calling them.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, they hear say, hey, you know what, this content manager, Nancy, we should totally work with Nancy. She's great. He's like, okay, you know, I'll think about it. And a couple of days later, hey, do you know Nancy? Talk to Nancy. She's great. You know, maybe I should hook you guys up. You know what he's going to be thinking sitting there? He's like, what's up with this Nancy girl? You know, why is everybody talking about her? Why?
So what is Nancy doing? What is Nancy doing? Is Nancy just making herself stand out on social media, or she's networking so that two different people within the VP's organization go to him at separate times or to her to say, hey,
exactly,
you have to meet Nancy. So Nancy's really working a lot of different ways to get to that person, it sounds like.
Exactly. What we do is that we create a relationship map, and that's the tool we use. But the powerful thing, I've sold in a lot of industries, and I always find it so interesting, or I love it when my target clients, the first time they met me and they come to me and, you know, we'd be, you know, trying to establish rapport, and then my target client would say, I've had a lot of people giving me referrals or introductions, but I've never had two people giving me introduction or referral of the same, you know, supplier or vendor or whatever. And that's why we're going beyond this. And that's why we have all the tools to say, not only you're trying to be very specific and you're in terms of your value proposition, and not only you know everything about this target client, industry, company, people, competitors, even their competitors. Now you got two introductions. And once we got everything set up, it's almost like the closing or the sales cycle becomes inevitably much shorter, because you've already got all those great tools working for you. And that's why it's so powerful.
Oh my gosh. Well, that is definitely powerful. And you've provided some really good advice.
No, I hope it inspires, I give some great, great insights or ideas for your listeners.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. I've been chatting with my special guest, Melinda Chen, founder of Women Making Big Sales. In the next segment, Melinda will share the biggest lessons she's learned as a sales executive.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, Back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show, where Melinda Chen and I were chatting about how professionals often struggle with sales and also how to differentiate yourself as a sales executive, which is so important. So, Melinda, you have given some really good advice. We left off talking about differentiating through value prop and really identifying certain things about your prospect. You mentioned the relationship map. Let's pivot into, that leads to success. But as you go through the sales process, right, I'm sure there are mistakes. So maybe you might pull out what is the biggest mistake or the biggest mistakes, and really what's the biggest lesson you've learned as a sales executive?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest mistake, it kind of comes back from the experience that when I made 5,000 cold calls, and that was towards the beginning of my sales career. And I knew that I had to get a lot of clients, and everybody was doing cold calls at that time. And that was like a few years ago, 15 years ago. So social media was not as important or as prominent. There was no social media basically back then.
Exactly.
So the cold call was like the strategy number one. And I did a lot of cold calls, and I was really struggling with getting the results. I was the queen of cold calls in the office. I cold called till like 9 o'clock at night. I got my little booth. Everybody knew that, I was doing my calls. Everybody knew about it. But I was not getting any results or satisfying results. And I was really, really frustrated. And only later, when I started being mentored by more senior executives, I realized the biggest mistake I was making during those cold calls. The problem was that I was not focused.
Oh.
So I basically took a list and then I started dialing. I didn't know enough about what they cared about. Mm-hmm. I didn't know their background. And I just basically, I was eager to just introduce myself and do an elevator speech about how wonderful I am or my product is. And that was always the biggest problem, is that we do not, and even today, a lot of us, we're trying to get clients, but we just do not do enough of the preparation to get the most out of it. And people are amazed how little time we have to impress our clients. And usually if you try to interact with your potential clients, you'd have, if you're on social media, you have 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. To create a positive impression. In real life, maximum you have 5 to 10 minutes. 5 minutes is probably considered long. Probably the first 3 minutes, the person's already determined whether you're worth talking to or not. And
that is
why it's so important to do the preparation, to know that what are the things, important things that you could slip through, you could mention during those very short time of interacting with your target client. So I think that's really the first thing. It's really be focused, be very, very focused, and do the preparation.
Yeah, and especially on social media, you said 30 seconds. And there is a lesson to be learned. Social media is so much more about the people that you want to connect with and build a relationship and engage than it is about, touting your wares, who you are and how great you are. So, but it is such a short amount of time. Okay. You mentioned senior professionals that mentored you. How important is it to have these mentors as a part of your career?
Oh, they're extremely, extremely important. I think having mentors really, first of all, avoid the mistake you could be making. So it shortened the learning curve. So for a lot of people, me, including myself, is that if I didn't have those mentors, I probably may be making the same mistakes over and over again and not really have that direction of knowing, okay, how do I improve on the mistakes? Well, I'm pretty sure maybe eventually I'll figure it out. But instead of taking me, two, three years to really master this art of selling, it could have taken me 10 years, or even I could have just given up before that and said, you know, I'm just not good at selling. I'm not those salespeople, those successful people. I might also become an accountant or something. they were extremely important, and they were always giving me fresh ideas. The ideas that allowed me to think differently, to see things differently. And that was really, really important to me because we all think a little slightly differently. Some people are more visual. Some people are more linear, logical. Some people are more innovative. And my mentors, I've always noticed that they allow me to see things slightly differently and gives me opportunity to try different things. So that was really helpful as well.
So did you seek out specific people that you knew who were innovators and might help you to see things differently? Or were these natural relationships that just developed over the course of your career? How did you approach getting a mentor?
I think it's a combination of two. So there are some mentors. It was just it was just very natural and mutual development as a friendship, sliding over towards mentor. Friendship and eventually becoming mentors. But I've also actively go out and look for mentors. So what I would do is I would spread away. I would tell them, I would tell people, basically my colleagues, my connections, and I would tell them that I'm looking for a mentor and this is what I can offer and the kind of mentor I was looking for. And they would usually refer me a mentor, and I would always be very clear with a mentor that, you know, I first of all thank them for possibly wanting to meet with me regularly to talk about my business. And I also told them that it's not going to be an indefinite time. It's going to be, let's set it for 6 months only, so that they don't feel like it's a big commitment. So it's in my mind, it's all about simplifying their lives because they're given their time for me. But I want to, it's my job to make sure that this is not going to be too demanding for them.
That's really good. I think that more people probably go the earlier route where it naturally develops and find it harder to go out and seek the mentor. But, you know, if you are simplifying that whole process and just setting the time frame, that alone, I would think would make it a lot easier to go and approach somebody. So that's a really good tip right there. You found tremendous success. Success comes with challenges. We say this. Let's talk about some of your challenges of owning your own business.
Oh, for me personally, the challenges for me right now, it's really the work-life balance. I've always been a workaholic. So to be able to balance that, all the things I would like to accomplish in my professional life. But at the same time, I'm also a mother of two very active boys. So I also want to spend time with them in the park and playing soccer and playing baseball. So to really to be able to balance both and making sure that my business is scalable, that's always one of the most important things. Every day I try to figure out the ways to make things more efficient and to be able to do both.
That's really good. Do you often, I know a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners, they talk about the blend. Do you try to blend anything family and business-wise, or is it really the cut between the work and the life balance?
The blend is basically together.
Oh, yeah. So blend meaning I have my boys come to the office, or I'm speaking at an event and, you know, they're there. I take my family with me so that way I hate to say this, but killing two birds with one stone. So do you blend, or is it a complete, you know, when I'm with my family, it is focus on family?
Yeah. Well, at this point for me, I have not tried blend. I did try blend when my son was just born. I basically started working about 3 days after I gave birth to both of my kids. And because they were very, very young. So I was practically breastfeeding while talking to clients on the phone.
Oh my goodness.
With my first son, I tried basically, I guess, that's how you what you call blend.
Yeah, yes, it is. That's a heck of a blend.
I tried that for the first two boys when they were very young, but I did notice for me personally that I was not being efficient. So basically my work to be able to get things done, it actually took longer and instead of shorter. So right now I try to separate both so that when I'm doing my work, I try to get things done as quick as possible, and I wouldn't feel distracted and trying to say, okay, well, you know, hey guys, I'm going to play with you a little bit and while working with you. And for me, it's just hard to do those two at the same time, but it could also be because the fact that my kids are still relatively young, so they're not as autonomous at this point. In the future, I might still consider going back to Glenn. So.
Yeah, well, that's a really important realization to know at the point of your family and your children's development, to know when to balance and when to blend. So that's really smart. On the, talking about balance, let's talk about the balance of giving information with selling. So I feel that we, you know, professionals are very giving with what we say and often what we do. But where do you draw the line between being very, very giving, but knowing that you also have to sell and to make that sale and have that client?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing is it's all about qualifying the client. So the information we're given, I focus a lot on, before when we talked about preparations with the client, you know, knowing the client's background, knowing the client's pain in the industry and the competitors. So whenever I'm really giving out information, my focus has always been focused on their problems. And in terms of how I solve it, I will talk about some of the benefits of how I would be solving it, instead of focusing on the exact solution of how you'd be selling it. If people would like to really know more about it, or if they want to discuss further, once I've already qualified a client, then I think that's when I said, do you think that you want to sit down together and let's set up a meeting to talk about it? And usually when you're reaching big clients, by the time you ask the client, say, would you like to sit down and let's talk about your business? The person should recognize that we are going to make it into a business or sales conversation. And it's just a very natural transition to tell your client that, well, I've given you enough information. If you are intrigued, then I would like to have a sales relationship with you. So it's all about being very authentic of what you want out of that relationship. It doesn't mean that, oh, I would only be friends with you if you buy things from me. But at the same time, I think people right off the bat, right from the beginning, you should still say that I would love to develop a potential business relationship with you so that people know, okay, this person, she would potentially like to be my service provider or my vendor. But it's me who has to decide, okay, whether this person is suitable or not. So if my clients started asking a lot of interesting questions, or they're really trying to ask more specific questions about the product, I will always say, can we set up an appointment and let's talk about it? And at that time, you know that you're pretty much, we're at the stage of making a sales presentation or a proposal to this potential client.
Right. So it's really knowing when to pivot at that point, moving the deal to the next, or the relationship to the next stage. So that is good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really the most important thing. I see a lot of with female entrepreneurs, we always talk a lot, we're always giving and giving and giving. But you really have a momentum in sales. You have to know how to give, but ask for things in return. And that's also part of the training program, is you have to prepare ahead what you're willing to give, but what the client might ask you for in return. So it's give and take. It's not give, give, give. It's give and take. So, for example, the client said, if you call a client, assuming if you're doing a call and stuff like that, and the client said, oh, can you send a proposal to me? Just send me a proposal, email me a proposal. Then it's your job to say, in order for me to provide the most valuable proposal, I will need your company information. I will need to know what you're looking for. And this is just a basic, very basic example of give and take. It's like, you know, if people ask for something, you have to be ready to demand something in return. And that's how you maintain this momentum. If you just give, then there's no control over this relationship. It's like dating, right? If a guy wants, you know, if you just give, the guys will lose interest. And eventually, eventually they'll say, hey, you know, that's good. But be prepared. I always want to tell my clients, be prepared. Let's write it down. Write things that you need from this person. And in return, what are you willing to give in return? So that you're very prepared to bring that give and take and give to control the relationship and maintain a momentum in throughout the sales relationship.
Well, I think there's a huge takeaway here. Prepare what you want to give. That is excellent, excellent advice. You know what? Let's on the note of advice, what other advice would you offer to women and men so that they can reach their sales goals?
I keep going back to the same theme, but one thing that I always tell my client, the first thing is be very focused in terms of who you want to target. In fact, it depends on where people's business, what stage of their businesses is, but try to find something that is extremely targeted, and even as small as possible, like a personal challenge. Try to get a target that is as small as possible so that you can go back and tell yourself, okay, am I really focusing on a one group of people that I want to serve? Because in today's world, there are so many noises and there are so many people doing different things. And if you really want to stand out, you don't have to be big to sell to big clients. You don't need to have a sales team to sell to big clients. You don't need to be extremely good in sales to sell to big clients. But you need to offer a very specialized service for the big client to say, hey, I gotta go with her because she focuses on this. Because if you're just a generalist, then that means that they already have somebody doing something for them already. So I would really advise everybody is just spend time to be extremely focused. And what an exercise I do is we all do LinkedIn. We all use LinkedIn. So yes. Do a search. You know, let's do a search, a profile search. We know how to do it. We go to advanced option and you try to search for potential leads. If you're a sales navigator, that's even better. But they will ask you for industry or keywords. Then force yourself to put down the industries or the keywords. Make sure that the list you have is as small as possible. And it's a good exercise for people to sit there and say, what industry do I want to write down here? What position do I want to write down here? And what keywords do I want to write down here? Don't just click all, because that's kind of a indication that maybe we need to, maybe we need to focus a little bit on who you're targeting.
You know, there's so many tools available. Yes. And I sometimes feel like we don't even scratch the surface. But it just what you're saying about go smaller to actually land bigger, we should be taking to heart. Really good advice. Okay, last question. This is an easy one. Where can my listeners find out more about you?
Yes, my website is womenmakingbigsales.com. So you'll be able to find some basic information about me. And also on my Facebook, that's where I post a lot of inspirations, motivations. I'm still a sales executive, so I still deal with sales every single day. And I talk about the clients I meet and the people I'm training with. So that's on Facebook. You can just type Women Making Big Sales, you'll be able to find out. And people want to talk about their business and, they have specific sales challenge or, they're just trying to figure out that, the urgency, how to create urgency in their offerings. They are always free to just connect me offline, send me a quick message, Melinda@womenmakingbigsales.com. And I always provide 45 minutes of free consultation sessions just for people to pick my sales brain.
Oh my gosh, that is awesome. I hope a lot of people take you up on that. What an incredible offer.
Yeah, I love coffee sales.
That's terrific. Yes. You know what? So do I. I could talk to you for a lot longer. Belinda, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your tips about how you can really raise your profile as a sales executive and master the sales process. So thank you.
Yeah, it was my pleasure.
And I want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Until the next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.